Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. On April 3rd, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. gave what would be his last speech in Memphis, Tennessee, as he was assassinated the following day. Many of you perhaps have read this speech or seen it or heard some famous excerpts from this speech, but perhaps the most famous part is when King says that he has been to the mountaintop and seen the promised land. The scripture that he is referring to here is in the book of Deuteronomy. The people of Israel here have just left Egypt and have been wandering around the desert for 40 years, and in many ways it has been hell on earth. As the people are approaching the promised land, Moses goes up to the top of the mountain. But because Moses did not obey God in the wilderness and gave in to temptation, his punishment was that he would not be allowed to enter the promised land, but merely be able to see it. So Moses is standing on top of the mountain, and he does see the promised land. He saw salvation, which God was about to bring to the people of Israel. Moses had come through the struggle for 40 years in the wilderness, and he could see that something new and something good was on the other side of the mountain. King, in a similar way, was saying that in terms of the civil rights movement in America, that they had come through the struggle and that he could see a new day was coming, a better day was coming for his community in America. Today in our readings, we are given lections for the Feast of Transfiguration. Although today is not the Feast of the Transfiguration, the lectionary appoints for us these readings. As we enter the season of Lent this week, it is important to remember what is on the other side of that season of the church. There is something new on the other side. A new thing will happen with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. In our readings for today, we are called to go up onto the mountain and to learn from God. But on the other side of that mountain, we can see our salvation that we find in Easter. We find something new for humanity, something better, salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. As we begin Lent this week, we are going up onto the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to spend time with God as we prepare for his death and resurrection. And hopefully when we are up on that mountain spending time with God, we are given a glimpse of what is on the other side, salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Mountains are very interesting in the Bible. I had a professor in seminary, Dr. Terry Donaldson. He was a very quiet man, and he did his 300 PhD on mountains in the Gospel of Matthew. And I would just always say, that's very interesting, Terry. I didn't have much to add about that. I thought, who could talk about hills for so long? But mountains are very important in the Gospel of Matthew. We have spent the last 3 weeks on the mountain with Jesus as he has given his Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel readings. The transfiguration of Christ, which we read today, takes place on a mountain. Moses goes up to the mountain multiple times, where he encounters God and where he is given the law for humanity. Jesus many times goes up to the mountains in his ministry to spend quiet time with God and pray. There is something holy about mountains in the scriptures, in the life of the prophets, and in the life of our Lord. In the Old Testament, mountains are the place where humanity encounters God and God enters into the realm of humanity. It is a sign for us of the incarnation, God taking on flesh, that Christ spends so much time on the mountains. If we read closely in the Gospels, we will see that Jesus prays on the mountains, he teaches on the mountains, and he heals on the mountains. For God, he is God incarnate. He is the God who meets humans on the mountains, who has always met humans on the mountains. The most striking example of this is, of course, our reading that we have for today, where Jesus is transfigured. He is revealed for who he really is on the mountain. Peter, James, and John go up to the mountain with Jesus, and when they are there, he is transfigured. and they can see to the other side of his earthly ministry. They can see that he is God, that he is the promised one, that he is salvation, that he is the true promised land that God had talked about for millennia, that he had talked about to Moses. Peter, James, and John climbed up that mountain with Jesus that day, and they saw the promised land in the person of Jesus transfigured on the other side. This Wednesday, we will begin the season of Lent, where we are called to take time, intentional time, to climb that mountain, to clear out our hearts, so that when Easter does come, we can see that it is in Christ where we find our salvation. We are called to spend time and to listen for the voice of God. We are to empty our lives through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and many other practices. We empty ourselves of worldly things in order to make room for Christ to come in. We are to decrease so that he may increase. As we allow Christ to increase in us, we will see that being a follower of his means more than just coming to church a few times a month on a Sunday morning. It means more than even just doing a few good deeds for people in the world. It will totally change our outlook because we will live like people who have been to the top of the mountain and who have seen to the other side. We will realize that most of what we care about in this world doesn't really matter at all, and that it won't be coming with us to the next. We will realize that we worship a God who preached a gospel of transformation, not affirmation. And as we are slowly and individually transformed ourselves, we will transform the world around us. We will be a foretaste of the kingdom in the here and now. And our fervent prayer should be that in some small way, people may see through us to the other side of the mountain, to Jesus, the only way to salvation, by the way we live our lives. This transformation in Christ will affect every single aspect of our being. In the new church calendar, of course, we are given the readings for Transfiguration Sunday, but in the prayer book, this is the last Sunday before Lent, and we are called to spend time with Christ on the mountain. We are in Shrovetide, the last Sunday of Shrovetide before we begin our new season. In our collect for today, we ask God to send the Holy Ghost and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of charity, without which whosoever liveth is counted dead before thee, the collect says. In his commentary on this collect, Frederick Barbie says this: this collect has a theme of either or. Either we are alive or we are dead. Either we are found or we are lost. Either we are blind or we see. And of course, in the collect, either we have charity or we are without charity. Barbie says that this extreme either-or is at the heart of Christianity. When it comes down to it, Barbie is correct in his assertion. We are called to live a life following Jesus, being transformed by him, or we live by the values of this world. But it cannot be both. It is either or. We can live for Jesus or we can live for the world. Those of us who have been to the mountain and have seen salvation on the other side of the mountain are called to bring a little bit of that back into our own world. Too many of us simply want to stay on top of the mountain and stare at God, but we must bring it back to a hurting and broken humanity. I would be remiss this morning if I didn't say something about John Vanier. Our friends at L'Arche are hurting, but of the news that came out, many of you perhaps would have heard. John Vanier, the founder of the L'Arche community, many considered a modern-day saint from the time of his death, had exploited several women over many years and had improper sexual relations with them. And this all came out yesterday. And you know, on Facebook and social media, many clergy were shocked. But I don't understand why they were shocked. This is an old story of humanity. But I think it is because many of us in our world like to put faith in human institutions or human people on this side of the mountain, when we are told constantly in the gospel that there is only one person and one thing that we are supposed to put our faith in, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he is from the other side of the mountain, and he came across to live with us in our lives, in the here and now. And that is the only thing, the only person that we can put our faith in. No institution, no person is perfect other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so when we hold leaders up or institutions up, We always must remember that they are not God, but we must point beyond that to God, to Jesus Christ. Just like we talked about John the Baptist with his long finger in that painting, saying, "Lord, not I, but you," always pointing to Jesus Christ. For in him and him alone, our salvation is found. No earthly human, no earthly institution. It is all corrupt. That is the message of the gospel. We are all corrupt and we all need help. That is the great equalizer, and we find that in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So where does that all leave us as we end the season of Shrovetide or Epiphany and we start our season of Lent? We are called to turn our hearts, our minds, and souls toward Lent now. Lent is a special time set apart when we go spend time in a very intentional way with God, searching our hearts, minds, and souls about everything in our life. How do we spend our time? How do we spend our money? How do we treat others? What have I done wrong? What have I done right? 40 days to ask all those questions on top of the mountain, wrestling with God. And it is not easy work. The gospel is not there to affirm us in our current behavior. It is there to transform us into something new, to be more like Jesus. We must decrease and let him increase. So when we spend time on the mountain with God in this Lent, we must pray that we can see to the other side, even a glimpse. And that when we do see to the other side, we can bring some of that love, grace, mercy, and perfection back into a hurting world with us. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to take the next 40 days and go up on the mountain and wrestle and spend time with God. It is not an easy time on the mountain, but it will be a good time, and it will be for the betterment of your soul. So I wish you all a holy and life-giving Lent. Amen.